This is former England cricket captain, of course, Ashes, winning captain back in 2005, that memorable series. He's now a cricket commentator, of course, heard right around the world. His name is Michael Vaughan. He joins us on Summer Grandstand. Michael, thanks for your time.
No problem. Just on the school run, or just about to be, so you've caught me just in time.
On the school run, yes. How do you go with the dad duties, sort of dropping the kids off at school?
No, I'm not bad. My 70-year-old's got a driving lesson in a week, so she drives us to school, and then I drive the car back. So it's getting to the stage of, actually enjoying the fact that my 17-year-old daughter could potentially pick me up from the pub, hopefully in a week's time when she passes her test.
Oh, it's so close. Just that next stage to be able to transition to the next period of fatherhood. The reports this week, Michael, so the Ashes are a goer. So after all the discussion, December 8th, we're back on for the first test in Brisbane. How has that all landed in the UK?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think they've always been a goer. I think there's been a lot of reports suggesting that England were going to pull out. They still haven't 100% confirmed, but I'm led to believe there'll be a squad announced on Sunday. I think Cricket Australia and the governments have done everything they can to make it is as easy as possible for the players and the families to get over there. I know it's not going to be easy in terms of what the players are going to have to go through in terms of the time away and the time potentially in some kind of mini bubbles. And I think if you look at England in particular, I know it's so easy for people to say, oh, come on, it's the Ashes, get over there and play. But this England side have been in a bubble for 18 months. If you look at the Australian Test match team, they've not been overseas since the Ashes here in 2019. I know some of the players who play all the formats have been involved in bubbles and quarantine, and I have a huge amount of respect and sympathy for every player that's gone through that. But this England team has gone through bio bubbles in their own country. Last summer they were locked up in hotels at the ground. This summer they've been in mini bio bubbles. They've not had a normal life. They've had a normal life over the last few weeks because the cricket has finished. But obviously those that are in all formats of the game have got on the plane to Oman for a week to prepare for the T20 World Cup. And if you're involved in all formats, you don't get back home till January the 20th. So I think they're in their rights to make sure that family visit was put in place. I don't think it was unreasonable to ask to not expect young families and girls to fly over with young kids to go and spend 2 weeks in a hotel room on their own. I just think that's asking a human being to do something that, you know, no one should have to do. I know people have had to go through that, but I've never agreed with that. So England have played, if you like, the hard ball, and I'm led to believe that everything that they've asked for, they may have been surprised by some of the kind of releases in a better way, which is great for the Ashes. It's the biggest series of them all. It's the pinnacle of the pinnacle. I have been disappointed as well in it doesn't surprise me, but, you know, we generally have only heard about how difficult it would be for the Ashes trip. Yet, you know, players get on the plane for the T20 World Cup, go to the IPL. It doesn't seem to be mentioned as much. So it sounds to me like England were playing a negotiation tactic to get more releases in terms of restrictions, particularly when they're over there and they have done their quarantine, to make sure that they can have as normal a life as they possibly can. Sounds like that's the goer, and it sounds like we have an Ashes contest on, which is fantastic.
Why do you think the comments from Tim Payne sort of struck such a chord over there? I know it sort of got picked up and got legs, and we've had certain players and commentators responding to his comments. Why from him do you think in particular it sort of struck a nerve?
I think as a Test match captain, you have to show a bit of empathy. Tim Payne, I think, has done a tremendous job in the aftermath of what happened in Cape Town. But let's be honest, in the last 2 years, he hasn't taken his team overseas. You know, he hasn't had to go through what these England players have gone through. He hasn't gone through what Joe Root's gone through. He only plays one format of the game. So I do think he showed a little bit of a lack of class. I know it's the Ashes. I know these comments and anything that you say as a captain, it goes double, treble, you know, whatever you say. We all put a little bit of a sprinkling of the cherries on the top to make it more stand out in terms of the headline. But, you know, I don't think it went down that well with the players. I think there's a you know, there's a huge amount of respect between the two sides, and in particular, anyone that's captain an international side. And I personally didn't think he had to say what he said. I thought he could have been a little bit showing more of an empathy side to what Joe Root and his team have gone through. You know, from what I hear, Joe Root will be on that plane. He'll be playing. I'm led to believe there'll be more players coming than we thought, if not all of them, because of obviously the family restrictions not being quite as tight as what they expected. So let's wait and see over the next few days and weeks what happens in terms of who's going and who's not. But I'm not too sure in time whether Tim Payne will look back at those comments and think, you know what, maybe I got that wrong.
Former England captain Michael Vaughan on ABC Radio across Australia. Michael, you mentioned the disparity between the actual test matches played between these two teams during the pandemic. So England have played 18 test matches, Australia just 4. What do you think we've learnt about the English test team during that time? What would, I guess, your assessment be when you look back on that sample size and assess how this team's going?
I don't think we've learned a great deal. I think we know with this England Test match team, they're at the minute very reliant on Joe Root's runs. If Joe Root has a Test match where he gets big scores, they're going to be very competitive. If the ball swings around, they're a dangerous side with the likes of Anderson, Broad, Wokes. If it gets to a contest like it did at the Oval against India, where it was almost overseas conditions, no swing, quite difficult to get any movement out of the surface, and you need a bit of pace, you need a little bit of mystery, and you need an outstanding spinner. Well, you know, England don't have that in their arm, but it doesn't look like Ben Stokes will travel. Joffre Archer's out of the Ashes. Ollie Stone, who's a quick bowler, out of the Ashes. We've got Mark Wood, who just hasn't played a great deal of cricket. Certainly won't play 5 test matches. If they can get 2 test matches out of Mark Wood, they'll be delighted with that. So I don't think we've learnt a great deal. We know with England that they're a dangerous side. You know, they can perform to a standard which will put any opposition under pressure. But, you know, I look at particularly in places like Brisbane and Perth, we play at those two venues. England just don't have the pace. They don't have the pace of what Australia will have. So they'll have to bat incredibly well. And it's just the batting. You know, can they find, you know, some kind of confidence in that top order? Can, you know, a Rory Burns have a good series at the top of the order? Will Haseeb Hameed survive the bouncing ball in Australia? David Malan's a good player. He came into the test side, and I think he showed last time in Australia that he certainly can get runs against the Australian attack. They'll miss massively Ben Stokes' runs. You know, Ben Stokes' bowling's not too much of a miss, but his runs are massive for the side. So Ollie Pope will get that slot. Again, a very promising young player, but he's yet to really step up, but this is the ultimate challenge. He's certainly got the talent to do so. And then you look at the likes of Bairstow and Josh Butler, dangerous players, but very inconsistent. And you know, if Joe Root can somehow install some of his methods into a few of the others, of course, they can be threatening. This series, I'll be totally honest with you, this series could be 5-0.
Wow.
Because you only have to look at... Yeah. It could be 5-0 because you've got to be realistic, because the last 4 tours of Australia, England have lost 5-0 twice, 4-0 once, and obviously they won in 2010 and 11 3-1. And I think this England Test match team are the kind of side that if they get on a roll and they get playing well, they'll be fine. But if they start badly, so they go out of Brisbane having got a hammer in, it's going to be a long tour for them. So that first test is going to be absolutely crucial. It's very, very hard to predict with England, because you're never quite sure. They went to India on the back of winning in Sri Lanka, won that first test because Joe Root put a huge score on the board. It was a remarkable victory. And then obviously there was rotation came in and they lost the series quite convincingly. So they do have it in them to beat good sides, but they also have it in them to lose against anyone. That's why at the minute it's very, very hard to predict. First and foremost, what the team's going to look like, and more importantly, what the standard of the cricket's going to be like.
Well, I thought 2 months out, Michael, that you'd come out firing and full of confidence in how England would go, having played more cricket recently. I love your social media game and the way you just tend to bait the Australian cricket fans. And yet here you are, just sort of laying back saying, no, we're quite happy to pick up the underdog mantle. And you're throwing out 5-0, and words like this is sort of very provocative.
It's because you've got to be honest. I mean, you know, the Australians are clear favourites. They drew here in 2019. They should have walked that series. they should have absolutely hammered England. You know, they should have won at Headingley. A few tactical manoeuvres, the poor use of DRS, bit of panic. Probably the greatest test match innings of all time by Ben Stokes, got England over the line. They then won at Old Trafford. They then went to the Oval. I don't know why they did it, but they decided to bowl first. It was a bizarre decision. The one thing I will say with this Australian side, that they can be beaten. We saw that with India last year, where they lost to a second-string India side, particularly in that last game at Brisbane, where, you know, when the pressure's on, I think that's, you know, the message I would say to England, get Australia in today's 4 and 5 when they know they can lose, and get them in a tactical battle, because it's been proven of late that if you can get Tim Payne into a tactical battle, you look at the last day in Sydney, when he came out with that comment to Ravi Ashwin, I do think you can get Australia when you get them into a tactical battle. You go to Headingley, didn't get the tactics right. They went to the Oval 2-1 up, got their tactics, probably got their team wrong for that week. They ended up only drawing the Ashes 2-0, where they should have hammered England in 2019. And last winter against India, going 1-0 up, bowling India out of 36 at the Adelaide Oval, Virat Kohli going home, and then not to win that series tells me that they're a vulnerable team as well. I don't think they're anything like an Australian side of old. I think they're a good team. Got a very good bowling attack, but they're certainly vulnerable. And I think if you can get them into that tactical battle, and you can get Tim Payne thinking, and you can get him into that pressurised zone, you know, there's recent stories of the coach not being popular. I don't buy too much into that. But I just know that if England can start well and somehow get something out of Brisbane, like they did in 2010-11, anything's possible. Anything's possible in cricket these days. And I think over the last 18 months, I don't know what you guys think over there, but I think that the cricket that we've seen across the world has been magnificent. You know, the standard and the drama that these players have created in these times have been unbelievable. And what we all want, we want a close Ashes series. We want it to go to the wire. We want great drama. We want huge talking points. I hope we get them, and I hope we get an England side over there playing to a standard that can put Australia under pressure.
Michael Vaughan with us on Summer Grandstand on ABC Radio across the country. Michael, just a couple of quick ones to finish. Ian Watmore standing down as the chairman of the ECB, less than a year into the role. So Barry O'Brien's going to take over as the interim chair. The Pakistan tour not going ahead, which I see Michael Holding has taken a shot at England for not going on that tour, plus the domestic schedule hasn't been sorted through. I guess what's your view on the governance level at the moment as to what's taking place with the ECB?
Well, I don't think it's been easy because of the times that we're in. I think, you know, the administrative side of all cricket needs a close look at. I think the powerhouse of what's happening in India and what the IPL brings to players and obviously the opportunities is great, but I do think it's swayed so far towards that almost the rest of the world and the rest of cricket, including international cricket, almost gets pushed aside. You look at that last test where India pulled out on the morning of the game in Manchester. That for me was a disgrace. Yeah. That should never happen. Mental health was used as a reason. You know, I completely get that, and we've got to be very aware of what players are going through. But, you know, since they've got on the plane to the UAE, I've not heard mental health mentioned in the IPL. It's surprising that. So I do think there's a power shift. The pullout of the Pakistan tour, you know, it was the last hour. New Zealand were obviously over there. They were just about to play the game and they pulled out. So it triggered the England side to do the same. I did have a lot of sympathy for the England players in that regard. When a security report comes back and you can't be 100% sure that you're going to be safe, you know, in the times that we're in and where England were going to play with obviously what's happening in Afghanistan, which was so close by. Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure I can be too critical of a team pulling out of a tour when you've got half an ounce of concern about security. So, look, it's the world game that I think Michael Holding in particular is talking about, where this power of England, Australia and India, you know, you look at England last winter pulling out of that one day game against South Africa. I completely disagreed with that. They should have had 11 players that went onto that field and played, as the Indian team should have got 11 players playing that test match. So I do think somewhere, somehow, and I don't know how it comes about, but, you know, the top three who are the most powerful, the richest, have the power over the rest of the world, you know, they have to help, you know, and they have to get together and understand that it can't be that just because we are the powerhouses, we just dictate, you know. We pull out of tours and we kind of pull out of games because we can, because we have the wealth and we then asked the likes of the West Indies, Pakistan, to come over to play in our shores last summer with the COVID issues. They came over in bubbles and did everything they could to keep our cricket on. And at the first time of asking, you know, a few of the big teams have kind of pulled out of tours. So, you know, the game is in a place where I think it's great. You know, I think all formats are fantastic. We don't talk enough about how great cricket is. We kind of always are mentioning aspects of what you've asked me about, the negative side. But I do think the governance of the game is very, very precarious at the minute. And I also believe that I do think player power has become too powerful. I do think these players are now forcing the issue with our boards far too easily. And somewhere, somehow, these boards around the world have got to stand up to the players, and particularly in the international game. I've never heard in my time, and it's only just happened recently, where players are picking and choosing when they play for the country. To play for your country is the hugest honour of it all. You know, to represent whichever country you're playing for, that is an honour, and you get asked to play for your country. It shouldn't be the other way around.
Michael, last one. You mentioned things that are good in the game at the moment. I'll leave you on this uplifting note. So you've covered a lot of the Big Bash here, and at the moment we're just working out how do we make the Big Bash even better. We've just had the inaugural 100 over there in the UK. Did you see anything in the 100 that you think, yep, that's what could work in T20 cricket and we should bring that into our major domestic competition here this summer?
Yeah, and I'd go a step further. It should come into international test match cricket as well, and it was the, you know, the clock. So you had to get your balls in time, and if you didn't, another fielder came into the 30-yard circle for the remaining balls that you didn't get the balls in time. So test match cricket, it's a bugbear of mine that this over eight, just nothing happens. The game's played at a snail's pace. As soon as there's any light problem, they go off the field. Most other formats you carry on. So yeah, the one thing that, I mean, I thought the 100 was fantastic, but you know that element of making sure that you bowl your balls in time, and if you don't, you get penalised at that moment in the game. And I'd do it through test cricket. In test cricket, I'd have it over every 80 overs. You've got an allotted time to bowl your 80 overs, and if you've not bowled your 80 overs in that time, the opposition get a penalty amount of runs, which, I don't know, you could argue 25, 50 runs, whatever it may be, but it should impact the game at that point. And that's what happens in the 100. So in the Big Bash, make sure that the overs are in time. And if not, and if you haven't got that to that 19th over mark, you know, you have another fielder in the 30-yard circle. That would be my advice to the Big Bash.
Michael, always appreciate your insights. Thanks for joining us on ABC Radio today. Safe travels to school and back, and look forward to seeing you out here this summer.
Cheers, mate. Thanks a lot.